the personality of Godhead and supreme ruler of everyone, these upstarts have flourished, our protector being God. Therefore, I myself shall take up this matter and punish them. Just witness my power.
The inexperienced Brahmin, puffed up by a little Brahma Tejas, became influenced by the spell of Kali Yuga. Maharaj Parikshit gave license to Kali to live in four places, as mentioned here and before. But by his very expert government, the personality of Kali could hardly find the places allotted him. The personality of Kali Yuga, therefore, was seeking the opportunity to establish authority. And by the grace of the Lord, he found a hole in the puffed-up, inexperienced son of a Brahmin. The little Brahmin wanted to show his prowess in destruction, and he had the audacity to punish such a great king as Maharaj Parikshit. He wanted to take the place of Lord Krishna after his departure. These are the principal signs of upstarts who want to take the place of Sri Krishna under the influence of the age of Kali. An upstart with a little power wants to become an incarnation of the Lord. There are many false incarnations after the departure of Lord Krishna from the face of the globe, and they are misleading the innocent people by accepting the spiritual obedience of the general mass of people to maintain false prestige. In other words, the personality of Kali got the opportunity to reign through this son of a Brahmin, Sringi.
Krishna gate bhagavati shastra yutpatagamina tadbina setun adhyaha shashmi prashatamevalam. So it sounds, externally speaking, or hearing this, it might sound like this is a wonderful attempt on the part of the Brahmin boy, that he wants to protect religious principles now that Lord Krishna is gone. Just like the Bhagavatam says, Krishna sudano bhagate dharma jnana dibhisaha kalo nasta dishamesha purana ko dinosha. That the now that Lord Krishna has departed, along with him went religious principles. But how will the people of Kali Yuga, where will they get religious principles now that Krishna is gone? And the answer is that as brilliant as the sun, Srimad Bhagavatam, is present to give religious principles. So the Brahmin sounds like he's saying the same thing. Now that religious principles are gone with Krishna, and the Kshatriyas are not behaving properly, I myself will take charge. That's the problem. He says, I myself will take charge. I'll take. But he's not checking with Guru, Shastra, or Sadhu, any of the three. No Sadhu would have recommended Parikshit Maharaj to be given the death penalty. No Guru would have recommended, and no Shastra would be recommending. Sometimes we have to overlook the faults of others. What to speak of the faults, so-called faults, of a great personality like Maharaj Parikshit. It is said that in the Bhakti Ratnakara, or one other book by the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, that even if Nityananda Prabhu, or by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even if Nityananda Prabhu goes into a wine shop, or if he marries a Muslim girl, still I don't question his motives. I shouldn't doubt that Nityananda Prabhu has gone into a wine shop, therefore he's become contaminated or he's gone there to drink wine. So, this is... The comparison is that the sun never becomes contaminated even when the sun shines on the most filthy places. Places where stool and urine are passed. The sun may pass there, we may think, oh, the poor sun is going to get contaminated by extracting the moisture there. But no, the sun never gets contaminated, but rather it purifies even the most contaminated places. In the same way, Teji Asamna Doshaya, those who are very powerful cannot be affected by faults. There's no faults in them. Same thing, the sun. If you say, oh, there's some sunspots, spots on the sun, criticize the sun. No, the sun is not affected by that. There's no fault in the sun. Or the moon, pockmarks. The moon may have some pockmarks. Or even Srila Rupa Goswami describes in his Upadeshamrita, if the acharya has some bodily discrepancies, maybe he's infirm, maybe he's diseased, maybe bad complexion, maybe coming from a lower social family. No, these are not to be considered. Just as Ganga Basan, the Ganga, even though there may be bubbles and mud and foam and other things on the Ganga, it doesn't become contaminated. So in other words, if Sringi had consulted Srimad Bhagavatam, you could say, well, the Bhagavatam hadn't been spoken yet, so how could he consult it? He was part of making it happen. No, but still the Shastras are there. Shruti, they're coming down by the disciplic succession. Mahajano yena katha sapanta dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhaya. In the heart of the pure devotees, the religious principles are present. So he could have consulted. So many saintly persons were present. Now, someone may say, what about today? Are there still saintly persons present? Fortunately, yes. They are still present. But it's not so easy to seek them out because there are many persons who are masquerading, claiming that they are incarnations of God. This is a great misfortune for the people, that some cheater comes and says, I'm an incarnation, I'm an avatar. And people, they become misled because they don't know. Like our government here, every day so many new religions are being formed. No wonder the people get disturbed. You can't blame them. But the poor government, someone comes and says, I have a new religion, and they have to allow it. Because if they say, well, no, this is not a new religion, they say, well, why not? They say, what about all the religions you've got in there? And because the government doesn't have qualified brahmanas, they cannot determine what is actual religion. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavana panito. They can't tell. So therefore they let everything come in as religion. Even if someone claims that he's God, what can they say? How can they disprove that he's God? They don't know who God is. If the imposter says, you say I'm not God, and they say, yes, we say you're not God. Say, okay, so show me God then. Well, show me who is God. And then if they say, well, God can't be seen, then of course they're just admitting that they don't really know what God looks like. So this is the problem. There needs to be real brahmanas. We were speaking yesterday to one student explaining this, that the real problem is there's no head in society. How can you expect a good society when there's no head? Like, how can you expect anything good from a body that has no head? Would anyone be interested in having a body without a head? Anyone? But what is the use of a body without a head? I mean, you say, oh, it's got big muscles. Would you like a body? If someone offered you, yeah, I've got this body, you can have it. It doesn't have a head, though. But it's real strong.
It's got a lot of muscles.
Would you be interested?
No.
Because it can't do anything. There's no value. So a society without Brahmins is of no value. It's a dead body. So society is dead. And the only hope for life is Rupanuga Vedic College. Because Prabhupada said, this is for creating Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. That's the purpose. Now, not everyone will be a Brahmin. You cannot expect everyone in society to be a Brahmin because there's three different modes of material nature: Tamagun, Rajagun, and Sattvagun. And some people are in different modes. But that's alright. Even if a portion, a small percentage of the population becomes trained up as ideal Brahmanas, they'll be able to give direction. It's like it's not necessary that everyone has to be a doctor in society. You only need some, a few, and they'll be able to take care of the disease. They'll be able to protect the rest of the people from diseases. Similarly, it's not necessary to have all Brahmins. It's like out of our body, what percentage weight is the head, Vibhishan? One eighth. Okay? So 1/8, that's 12%. That's not even very much of the body. So 12% Brahmanas in society, that will be sufficient to give proper guidance. Yes, question over there?
You said the society have no head. But actually, in the society, there are Brahmanas. There are many, many Brahmanas in the Krishna consciousness movement, but they are not connected with the government. That's the problem.
Yes. That's our point, that the government is not recognizing the real Brahmanas. They should be taking advice. They should be on their council of advisors. They should have Brahmanas there, Vaishnavas from ISKCON. It's like I was listening to a discussion Prabhupada was having with Professor or Principal Oliver of the Durban University. It was a wonderful discussion, and this man was quite intelligent, and he said, yes, it's our duty to teach Bhagavad Gita clearly. And Prabhupada said, so you should hire some teachers to explain, to teach Bhagavad Gita. And I probably didn't say who, but it was obvious who he meant. He meant members of his ISKCON. One of his disciples was there, and he probably said, so you speak on Bhagavad Gita. So it was obvious he was hinting that you should hire these ISKCON devotees to preach Bhagavad Gita in the university. He said, otherwise, what is the use of a university if it doesn't teach about who the person is, the difference between the body and the soul? Here.
So the next question is, why the Brahmanas are not in the government, and why the government want to accept these Brahmanas?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, the government, unfortunately, is being led by persons who are blind. Andhayatandai upaniyamana. The Devi do, Svartikatinni Vishnu. They don't know the goal of life. They shouldn't be in the government position. Guru na sasyat, svajano na sasyat, na janina sasyat, na patina sasyat. Once you not become a king, or a husband, or a mother, or a guru, unless he knows how to deliver the dependents from the cycle of birth and death, they don't even know. They don't even know what the goal of life is, what the purpose of life is. No idea. They think the purpose of life is to drink, and have sex, and get money, and then die. That's it. Just like the animals. Or, of course, the animals don't even drink, so they're even worse than the animals. So that's the first problem. Then the second problem is, why aren't the devotees, why aren't they in those positions? Well, gradually they are rising up. Some people, those who are a little intelligent, they can appreciate. It's like in India now. We have to give some appreciation that the Prime Minister who just left, he had a great deal of respect for ISKCON. In fact, he went to many of the openings. Huh? You were there, you saw how many, many, many different openings of temples and ceremonies he was going, Prime Minister of India. So that's very good. At least he appreciated that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is giving the real science. And I mentioned the other evening, I think most of you were there, that now the government of England wants to introduce teaching Sanatana Dharma, and they are asking ISKCON to organize the curriculum. So things are happening. It's beginning to come. That such a thing would never have been even imagined 40 years ago when Prabhupada came. But now it's... Because these books are so important and Prabhupada is such a pure person, set such a high example. So now his followers, they have to carry the same example. They have to exhibit it. Achar prachar. It won't be sufficient if we just distribute the books, but we don't live the books. We have to live them also. Question. And one of the younger... Yeah, there we go.
Well, Srini may have remembered the killing of Ramaharshan Sutta when he was sitting on the Vyasa and he didn't respect Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram took a Krusha, piece of Krusha grass, and killed him. And so he may have been just because he didn't personally know Pritchett Maharaj, he was a great king.
Yeah.
But so he may have thought, well, but like you said, he didn't consult.
Okay, that's a good point. So I'll answer that. Once there, this is a story that Prabhupada told. Once there was a veterinarian. Does everyone know what a veterinarian is? A doctor who takes care of animals, veterinarian. So this veterinarian, they brought him one horse, and the horse had a big bulge in his neck. So all the people, they didn't know what to do. The horse was in difficulty. So the veterinarian, he examined very carefully, looked inside the horse's mouth and did so many things. Then finally he asked his assistant, bring me one mallet. Some kind of a mallet, you know, kind of like a hammer. A wooden hammer. So the assistant brought it and then he started hitting right on the neck, right where the bulge was. He was banging and then after some time the bulge went away and the horse was fine. So everyone was, you know, quite amazed at the expertise of the veterinarian. And the assistant later on, after a few weeks later, he saw one man. And the man had a big bulge in his neck. So immediately he went and got a hammer and started beating on the old man's neck. And they took him into court. They arrested him. And the judge said, why have you done this? He said, I did it. I'm just following the example of my veterinarian I work for. Yes, I learned this from my veterinarian. And the judge said, what? Your veterinarian told you to do this? Yes. All right, bring in the veterinarian. Called him in, subpoena. So the veterinarian came into court. The judge said, this man is saying, you taught him how to beat people with the bulge in the neck. He said, no, I never did that. He said, yes, don't you remember the horse? He said, now the horse, he had swallowed a gourd. You know, a gourd is like a little pumpkin. He had swallowed the gourd, and it was stuck in his throat, so I had to break it. But that doesn't mean you do that with everyone. This old man, he had some growth there. It wasn't a gourd that he had swallowed. So the point is, blind following is not recommended. So yes, he might have thought Lord Balaram administered the death penalty to Ramaharshan Sutta. So I'll also give the death penalty. This is called imitating. It's like nowadays also, some people, they think themselves that in the name of Krishna, in the name of religious principles, they'll destroy ISKCON. They have to vanquish ISKCON because we have to reestablish religious principles. This is their idea. So it's the same thing, Mishringi. Foolish Brahmin. He's thinking, I'm serving Krishna, but he doesn't consult. He doesn't understand the scriptures. He doesn't understand religious principles. Question?
Maharaj, it seems that society, or the whole world as humans, has been divided.
I guess it starts with the states in the country, and then the countries are against the other countries. What is this influence? Why can't we all just, you know, live as humans? And what is influencing us to be divided like this? And could it be happening within ISKCON?
The inclination towards division. Dividing up the land, this is mine, because people want to exploit more and more. This is the age of quarrel. Kali Yuga means quarrel. So there will be quarrel. You cannot avoid it in this age. The only way to avoid it is to transcend it and become Krishna conscious. But even if you try to become Krishna conscious, there may be some Hiranyakashipus around who will not allow you to be Krishna conscious. He's an atheist. So the atheists don't like it. The problem is that even the atheists, sometimes they quote scripture. What does it say? The devil's quoting scripture. So sometimes the devils, they quote scripture. Look at here. Sringi, he did the worst thing. He cursed the most advanced person on the planet, practically, at least one of the most advanced persons on the planet, Vaishnav, pure devotee of the Lord, protector of Dharma. He's so foolish, he's thinking, I'm going to get rid of this Maharaj Parikshit so that religious principles will be flourishing. He doesn't know that it was Parikshit Maharaj who was protecting religious principles and holding off the age of Kali. So it's the same thing. People are thinking, we'll get rid of ISKCON and then we'll have religious principles. They don't realize it's ISKCON that is maintaining religious principles.
It just seems like, especially in America, there's just such a division between temples now. It's not one whole group. It's, you know,
that's maybe because someone doesn't have the vision to see like that. If one sees that in every temple on Janmashtami there's a beautiful worship every morning at 4:30, there's Mangala Arati every day. There's offering of bhoga to the deities. Everyone's chanting 16 rounds. Now, if they're not doing that, then that's a deficiency and that has to be rectified. But that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way Prabhupada established it. If some members are deficient and weak, then they should be given strength. They should be encouraged by those who are strong. The duty of the strong to help the weak, isn't it? Just like in society, if someone's lame Well, then the other members of society, they make some arrangement to help him, or if someone's incapable, they help. So we have to help those. That's one of the reasons why our institution here is established, to build strong devotees who will be able to be spiritually fit and have transcendental knowledge to give strength everywhere they go. Other questions? Yes, in the previous verse, he addressed Prakshit as Kshatrabandhu, these descendants of the King Yora. He said, this Prakshit, he's not a good descendant of the Arjuna and the Pandavas, but actually he was. He was great. He should have overlooked this. If someone in a position of superiority happens to do something that I don't understand or that I consider an insult, I shouldn't take it as an insult. I should be humble about it. Let's go on to the next verse. Ityuktva roshatam raksho vayasyan rishibalakaha kaushikyapa upasprisha vagvajram visarasarjaha. The son of the rishi, his eyes red hot with anger, touched the water of the river Kaushika while speaking to his playmates, and discharged the following thunderbolt of words. Purport.
The circumstances under which Maharaj Prakshit was cursed were simply childish, as it appears from this verse. Sringi was showing his impudency amongst his playmates, who were innocent. Any sane man would have prevented him from doing such a great harm to all human society by killing a king like Maharaj Prakshit just to make a show of acquired brahminical power. The inexperienced son of a Brahmin committed a great mistake.
Just imagine a little young boy, 10 or 12 years old, who has a gun. And of course, a gun is a lethal weapon. And he knows how to shoot. He's got good eyesight, so he knows how to shoot the gun. He's practiced a little bit. And now he sees in some procession there's some spiritual person. And he finds some fault. He says, why is he driving in such an opulent car? I will show him. He shouldn't be so proud. He shoots. So that's a misuse of his power. He's a young boy, but he doesn't have discretion. It is said, discrimination is the better part of valor. So without discretion, he has enough power to pull the trigger and to aim the gun. That much he knows how to do. Therefore, guns should not be put in the hands of such persons. In the Vedic system, they wouldn't allow such weapons to be in the hands of ordinary. Just like even now, they don't allow machine guns. Question then.
What does valor mean?
Valor means heroism.
I've never really understood that phrase. Could you explain?
Yes, it means like this. Let's say there's two armies and they're facing each other in battle. So both sides have to have heroic men. So one man is thinking, I want to show my heroism. I'm going to go attack by myself the whole army. So he gets up in the middle of the night and starts running and shooting at the enemy. by himself. Well, that's not very good. First of all, he's one man against the whole army. He'll be shot. Second of all, by his foolishness, he also shows the other side where his army is, where his men are. So there's a very good chance now that his whole army will be destroyed because of his so-called valor. So discrimination is the better part of valor. You have to know when to fight and how to fight, not just fighting madly, blindly. It's like a moth, very valiantly flying into the flames of the fire. What is the use of such valiant, such proud valor? I'm valiantly flying into the flames. Yes, and you'll be burned up also. That's what it means. Better to fly around the flames. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.